CBSI in the world, I'm John Batchelor. AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, the United States. Since it was announced some year past, it's rattled a lot of people in Beijing, which sounds like a good thing. However, AUKUS, to my understanding, was originally about submarines, about attack submarines to be built and housed in Perth or the nearby port out near Perth in Western Australia to assert authority into the Indo-Pacific. But as Gregory has now educated me, AUKUS is much more than about submarines. How so, Gregory?
Well, it's true that the whole AUKUS thing crystallized around Australia's need to get a new submarine into the fleet and to think about the long-term submarine needs of the Australian power projection capability. And that meant that it went for a nuclear-powered submarine, but it's going to have to be a very different one. And it needed the US and the United Kingdom to enable the technology to move to Australia rapidly so that this could come into being. That's now happening. But the reality is that AUKUS gives the old, what you call Western world, the United States, Australia, United Kingdom, a truly global alliance, which we have not seen articulated before. This gives a presence in all of the world's oceans, including the Arctic and the Antarctic regions, and gives a capability unmatched around the world, certainly dominating that of the People's Republic of China or anybody else. It's fully integrated and has been for some time in terms of operational capabilities in a way, by the way, which we haven't seen in NATO since the collapse of the Cold War in 1990-1991. So we've got this new global alliance which has a lot of capabilities. The Australians are now putting out their new defense strategic review, which incorporates a lot of the stuff on AUKUS. And the AUKUS heads of state, President Biden, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese in Australia, and Prime Minister Rishi Sunak in Britain, are going to be meeting probably around March 17, 18th in Washington with an AUKUS summit, and they'll be discussing a lot of this. But then we'll start to see what this new submarine looks like. We'll start to see what the overall Australian force projection looks like and how this literally fills the gap in containing the People's Republic of China. But ultimately, these new submarines for Australia probably won't come into being until for 18, 20, 25 years' time. By that stage, it's probable, highly probable, that the People's Republic of China, as it exists today, will have collapsed. We might see a new China emerging, probably not a communist one, probably one broken into various components. But we're looking at building this AUKUS strategic infrastructure for the post-China era. Nobody's talking about that at this stage. But when you look at AUKUS in the Indo-Pacific, that will be to, in a sense, offset or counterbalance a current ally, India, which is going to be growing as a power in its own right and will challenge US, Australia, UK in the Indo-Pacific simply because it's got its own strategic priorities. Right now, India is a vital ally of the AUKUS partners in the containment of the People's Republic of China and as part of the Quad alliance between India, Japan, US, and Australia. But what we're going to see 5, 10, 20 years down the line is that India is going to be perhaps a friendly rival, but one which will need to be at least counterbalanced. Because in strategic planning, you don't plan against your opponents or your possible opponents' intent, because the intent can change minute by minute. You plan against their capability. So what everybody needs to do when they're looking at India, whether they're Australia or Pakistan or, for that matter, Russia or China, you have to plan against what can they do physically and economically. And India is very likely to be a substantial military strategic power in 10, 20 years' time. And the world will need to balance that, and not necessarily in a hostile manner, but by mutual balance. And that's where you avoid conflict, by having a balance of forces, not an imbalance of forces. Imbalances create wars.
You report that in the period between now and when Australia is building submarines at out in the Western Australia, there needs to be coverage. And the Collins class, which is presently deployed, is going to age out. You also report that the Royal Australian Navy facility, the submarine base, needs a smaller submarine than the Virginia class. Did I read that correctly? So they, what are they going to fill the interim, and what does the future look like at in Western Australia?
Well, certainly we've got a decade and a half, maybe even 2 decades if we stretch it, where the Australian Collins-class conventional submarines have their service life extension program, which will make them very capable for a period. After that, there'll still be a little gap until the new class comes in. Australia will be building those new submarines, not in Western Australia, but in South Australia, near Adelaide. The basing will be mostly around the Fremantle area in the Indian Ocean, where the U.S. had its second largest submarine base of World War II, for example. But the reality is that the narrow and shallow waterways of Southeast Asia require a submarine like Australia's present Collins class, which is less detectable in shallow waters. That means a smaller submarine. So what we've got now, the British have the Astute class, which is smaller than the Virginia class, has less crew as well, which is a significant factor. The Virginias have a crew of around 130. The Astutes run with a crew of 98. And the Collins class runs with 58. So Australia ideally will be looking for a smaller nuclear vessel which is compatible with the Astutes and the Virginias in terms of weapons fit out in many respects, fire control systems and all of the sensors. And so that's not going to be changed, but the size ideally will be smaller so that Australia can lead the way, as it does now, in the Southeast Asian waterways with very low detectable submarines. So the new submarine is going to be very significant, and it'll be something which the Americans and the Brits will participate in designing. Maybe the Brits themselves will prefer to get this new class of submarine as when to follow on from the Astute class, simply because they could get more of them for the money, and that would be a very timely move into the post-China generation when numbers of vessels at sea and capabilities are going to be important, and also to plan for the next generation of submarine launched weapons. Right now they're launching Tomahawk attack missiles, both nuclear and conventional. They're launching newer versions of torpedoes, but they're going to have to come up with the next generation for the next 20 or 30 years, and that will fit onto this next submarine as well.
The annual Malabar naval exercises seems relevant to this discussion of Australia, UK, and US. The Malabar naval exercises of 4 Quad nations, US, India, Japan, and Australia, for the first time to be hosted in Australia. It was just announced. Is this a positive that fits with AUKUS? I've never quite understood how theoretically is a trade arrangement, Quad, fits with a security arrangement, AUKUS.
Well, Quad is a security arrangement. It's not a trade arrangement. Quad was developed to contain the People's Republic of China by all strategic means possible, and primarily militarily. So that's not an incompatibility. Australia and India have consistently exercised militarily, Australia and Japan, Australia and the US, Australia and Britain. So all of them have worked together in the past, but having the Malabar exercises with all 4 of them together is really something which gives Quad a lot more cohesiveness as a jointly interoperable capability in the short term with regard to containing the People's Republic of China. And of course, India has been the dominant power in the Malabar exercises until this stage. Now they're becoming far more alliance-based, if you like.
All right. So can we see these 2 organizations merging in future so that you have Japan involved with AUKUS and you have India involved with AUKUS, or are they going to stay apart strategically?
They are going to stay apart strategically. India certainly doesn't want to be part of any such alliance the Quad sits well with India because it's not a formal alliance. It's an understanding, if you like, between nations, and it's something which can expand, contract according to the whims of the day. Japan and the US have a formal alliance. Japan and Australia have a formal alliance. So that could work. And Japan is not so averse to joining an alliance such as AUKUS, or for that matter, Five Eyes, the great intelligence exchange treaty grill pact. India will not join that because it wants to remain not just non-aligned, but it wants to remain sovereign and independent and not subordinate in any way to an alliance structure. In any event, as I said earlier, India is potentially the great rival to AUKUS in 10 to 20 years' time.
Just a detail. I noted that the defense minister and the foreign minister of Australia made a call in France. Have they patched up the dispute over the change of submarine authorship?
To a large degree, they have. And the French came back just recently to Australia to offer the construction of a dozen French-designed submarines to fill the submarine gap between the Collins-class and the new nuclear vessels. Australia doesn't want to go to that massive extra expense just for a short, submarine gap in 15, 20 years' time. So it didn't accept that. But basically, the French and Australians have patched up. Look, the French knew that there was something wrong here. They got a contract which was not logical. They took advantage of it to an incredible degree. They took away large amounts of cash from Australia without delivering anything like a viable submarine program, which was originally intended to replace the Collins. So that led, in a sense, Australia to go to Britain to start the process of creating AUKUS. But France, Australia, Britain, the US will and do cooperate in the Indo-Pacific extensively, and that will expand, I believe, over the coming years. Certainly cooperative military operations are already the order of the day involving the French in the Indo-Pacific.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to get in a time machine and go to 1975 and events in Australia that are pertinent now to the anticipation of the coronation of King Charles III. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just...
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.